Welcome to the Parented Podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Gams. Join me as we explore the hardest job that you will ever love, that of parenting your child. Today we talk with Alyssa and her stud of a husband, Doug, married for 6 years with 2 children, ages 4 and 2. Their 4-year-old daughter melts down when she hears the word no, and they have run out of options. Listen to their tales of airport meltdowns, why saying no is getting in your own way, and the alternative to a reward system for chores. Enjoy.
Our names are Doug and Alyssa, and we've been together for 8 years, married for 6, and we have 2 children. Mm-hmm. Our son is 2, his name is Simon, and then our daughter is Jillian, and she is 4.
Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome. So we've got 2 of you here today. This is fun. Okay, tell us your fun story of how you met, because that's really fun. I just heard it. And why Doug's a stud, because Doug is a stud, y'all. He's a stud.
Do you want the summarized version, or do you want
detailed? I want the summarized version. Come on with them. Yeah.
I provide the summarized version.
Yeah, okay, yeah, please.
All right, so we met online via Match.
Mm-hmm.
She was my first date, but not my last. So first date we went out was May 3rd. I think.
Ish, yeah, 4th.
And went out, we proceeded to go out with 3 total dates, and then on the 4th date scheduled, she canceled. I thought it was no big deal, but so I even on the phone asked her, so, well, why is this awkward? She told me it was awkward, and she said, well, that's because we're not going to reschedule.
So I called Doug, and I told him that we weren't going to, that it was really awkward, and I had to cancel our next date, and he wanted to know why that was awkward, and I told him it's because we weren't going to reschedule it, and he was like, oh, yeah, it's definitely awkward. And I told him, but the good news is that I wanted to set him up with a friend of mine, and I thought they had all these things in common, and he was like, okay, here's the deal. I want to date your friend. I think you're the total package, so if you change your mind, you can give me a call. And I did.
That was beginning of June, so maybe, again, after 3 dates that we originally went on over the course of a month, maybe, or a few weeks. And then the very first of July, she called back, emailed. So, of course, I couldn't email right away, so I had to give her a day or two.
Yeah, let me
play the dating
sweat
game.
Sweat it out.
I didn't contemplate. I knew I was going to email her back. So, yeah, and here we are. 2 kids later.
2 kids
six,
later.
6 years of marriage later.
Yeah.
Impressive. Doug the stud and Doug 2.0.
I like that. That doesn't get old. You can keep saying that.
I know. Doug the stud.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, I wish we never came here. No.
Yeah. And then you were saying you're new to podcasts.
Yes. And,
yeah. Yeah.
Just today.
Your first one you listened to?
Maybe I shouldn't lie about... 5 years ago, I tried one.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't easy at the time, so closed that book, closed the podcast book, and then just yesterday we started talking about it again. And today I listened to my other first podcast. I'll say so.
No, you know, I think that is a lie because I made you listen to Serial with me, and Serial is a podcast.
That is true. That is true.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't driving that, but you're right.
Yeah,
you're right. So
yes,
I just subscribed to your podcast.
Mm-hmm. And so when you were invited to come, you said that you weren't sure why we weren't bringing the children.
That's correct. So I didn't know a whole lot about what we were doing tonight. And Alyssa shared with me what we were doing. And kind of thought, well, if it's about our kids, I'm kind of surprised we're not bringing our kids. But kind of instantaneously, I realized the light bulb went off. So, well, it's probably more about us than it is our kids.
Yeah.
So
it usually takes people a lot longer. Stud Doug to figure that out. It does. It takes people a lot longer to figure out this is really about us. It's not about our kids. Usually people come to me because it's that one kid. It's that one kid. And then they realize we're going to talk about all the things you can do differently with that one kid, or that you need to raise your game with that one kid, because some children are much easier to parent than others, and that's not their fault. That just means we have to raise our skill set. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, when we were talking about what we were going to bring up today, I told Doug here, you know, I said, these are my 2 ideas that I want to talk about.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I really want to talk about like how I get so stressed and I am so impatient. And I said, that's going to come out when we're talking about how to manage these two situations.
Okay, great. Go for it. What do we got?
So specifically, we want to talk about our daughter. She is four, and she is, when she is great, she is amazing. Mm-hmm. And when she is not great, she makes your blood boil.
Yeah, right.
And the two things we want to really talk about with her that really go hand in hand is that she, when you tell her no, when you tell her she can't do something, probably 80 to 90% of the time, there's a meltdown. And we need better help trying to figure out how to tell her no and redirect so that way there aren't, those meltdowns aren't happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other piece is that, like, we've tried different types of discipline. You know, we've threatened to take her to her room, time out, and, you know, spanking her, and she just, nothing really seems to resonate. So we are just at a loss at, you know, in these moments, how we can help her not have a complete, like, become a complete hot mess, and also so that we do not lose our patience.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, okay, I can talk, we can talk about this. I want to get clear on the second piece.
Mm-hmm.
When you said, you know, the timeout, what is the behavior that's going on? Or we can talk about what to do instead of timeout. Well, you want to talk about that? Something that's more effective?
I mean, we have talked about a reward system of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
We've tried it on a minor scale, just with check marks. And and I know we didn't follow through very well on that. And I don't know, it was just hard for us to see the success for that.
Yeah, we can talk about, it's just like she just does not respond to discipline or to, you know, we've been trying to get better that if we tell her, like, Jillian, if you do this again, you're going to go to your room, and trying to become really good at not giving her more chances, and, like, the second she does it again, taking her to her room. Or if we tell her, you know, don't hit your brother, and then she won't hit him again, but she'll kind of do, like, a real, like, a little motion, like, she wants to hit him, but she knows that she hasn't, so she really tests us.
Yes,
she does. Tests the boundaries big time.
And yes,
and I know I'm not consistent at this. I try to be, but I've kind of put the zero tolerance. You test me like that, you actually do it again, then the consequence is whatever it is. And Alyssa will always say, I right or wrong, she probably hears no too much from us. So we need to work on saying yes.
Okay. We need to give her some wins, because she probably just feels like we don't give her any wins.
Discouraged. She feels discouraged because, I mean, when you're told no, do you like it?
Right.
It's very discouraging to hear no. It's deflating. So, okay, we'll talk about that. All right. Well, okay, let's start with this no and don't concept. So, if I say to you, don't turn around and look over your head at the chocolate boy, don't do it. How do you feel?
Yeah. Tempted.
Completely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're completely tempted, and there's a charge that's been put on it. And in fact, the brain registers, it, turn around and look at the chocolate boy over my head. It does not register the don't. The brain doesn't hear the don't. It just hears everything that came after it. And so we do this a lot of times with our children. Don't run. All the brain hears is run. Don't play with your food. They're hearing play with your food. Don't jump on the bed. Jump on the bed. Because now it has this charge, and it's very attractive when you forbid something like that. So it just becomes attractive. We've just made it enticing. So it's shifting how we speak to them and say what you want instead of what you don't want. Because then I understand, as your child, look this way, eat the food, walk, sit on the bed, whatever it is that you do want instead of what you don't want. And that sounds very simple. It's not so simple, because you'll realize just how much you're saying it. And then it's, and you're, we're making it more attractive. Don't touch the, you know, outlet. Don't, it's, well, that all they're going to do is go touch the outlet. Whatever we put a charge on is going to be very, very attractive. The best one is don't do drugs. That's the best one. Yeah, don't drink and drive. It's psychology. It is. It's how we think. So, so to shift into what you do want will be more encouraging, and she will understand more what it is that's being asked of her instead of forbidden from her. So, don't hit your brother. What can you say instead?
Right. Now, please keep your hands off of Simon.
Yes.
Is that better?
Keep your hands to your, to your own body, or touch softly. Literally, take a child's hand and rub them on the brother. Like, touch softly. Like, show what you do want instead of what you don't want. That's, that will be helpful. And then the piece about no. So let's talk about that. You had said when we first sat down visiting, you said that you know why people have more than one baby is because, what were you saying
about babies are easy. I know why people have babies. Like, I would love to have another baby.
Right.
It's, that's easy. Having a newborn is easy to me.
Yes. So, because I always tell people that it's not real parenting until they, start to talk. That's when parenting begins. Prior to that, it's caretaking. You're just caretaking. And so you haven't begun parenting until they start to talk, which is around two, when they learn that word, no, because it's been told to them so much, and they learn how to say it, and then they're saying it back to you. And then parents go, well, why are they so obstinate, and why do they say no all the time? Like, because they've just learned how that this word has power, and they've heard it so much, and they realize they have power now, and they can make the big people crazy by saying this word, because you all are giants. And I'm down here looking up at you going, no, no, and then you guys go crazy, and I realize I have power.
Well, I think, like, I think about every single day we come home from work, and it's, they're hungry, they want something to drink, they want something to, you know, they want something to eat, we're trying to get dinner on the table, and I'll say, you know, she wants a granola bar.
Right.
We're about to eat dinner, you can have the granola bar after dinner.
Beautiful.
Freaks out.
Beautiful.
She freaks out.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I want it now. She wants the granola bar now. So she she needs to learn, or we need to learn how to give her some patience.
Well, yeah. Well, she doesn't have much. She's four. So she's got not very much. And Simon's got even less. Okay. He's two. So there's not a lot of patience there. We can't expect a lot of patience there. You know, we talk about kids going out to dinner. We stopped going, because what's the point? This is not a good time going out to dinner, because one of us is walking around with a child and one of us is eating, and this is not fun, because you can't expect a child at these ages to sit, to eat, to wait for the food. Like, it becomes, okay, we're going to get up and we're going to walk to the bathroom. We're going to check out the bathroom, come back. I mean, really 5 minutes. That's about the extent of it. And then we're going to get up and we're going to sit for 5 minutes. Then we're going to get up and then we're going to go walk outside on the sidewalk and see that pole down there. I want you to run down to that pole and run back. Okay, now we're going to go sit back down for 5 minutes, hope the food's there so we can eat it together. I mean, you can't expect them to sit there like that. It's not realistic, especially boys, because they're more physical even than girls, typically more gross motor, and they cannot do it. So it's, what are you expecting realistically from your age group either to sit, that to be, you know, patient, to be able to wait. Okay, hunger is a different thing than patience. So if she's hungry, what you know, like you said, getting home and she may be really starving or whatever, that might be helpful for everyone, that she gets a spoon of peanut butter or something that is healthy that you are okay with while this is all occurring, because otherwise it will get ugly, just like it is when you're hungry or tired. And they're worse because they're littler and they don't have the capacity that we have.
I think that specifically, I mean, she keeps herself together all day long.
Yeah.
You know, my mom would always say, oh, you're the golden child for everybody else except for me.
Right.
You know, your kids are good for everybody else except for the parent. And that is absolutely the case with her. She's perfect at school. And
they save it for you. That's the blessing and the curse. I say that's the blessing and the curse because they hold it together just like you do at school and at work. And then they come home and they let it all out just the same as you. Mm-hmm. And so you want that, in fact, because you want them to be holding it together at school. Parents who come to me and say, well, my kid does really well at school. And, you know, the teachers say they don't have any of these problems. And then they come home and I go, oh, okay, well then great. I can work with you. There's a lot we can do here because your child clearly is capable. Mm-hmm. They're clearly capable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But when parents come to me and they say, well, we've got these problems at home and then school has these problems and grandma reports the same thing and the daycare reports these, it's like, well, okay, then that indicates that the child is doing the best they can. And we have to come at it differently there. So that's actually the compliment. If you can view it as such, that they feel comfortable and safe releasing it all with you, just like you do with each other. Mm-hmm. You let it out with people that you're safest with. So that is not, that's not a wrong, weird, odd thing. It's perfectly normal. And it means what do we need to do differently, or what kind of space do we need to provide for her to sort of unwind before you expect much from her at all?
It's Michelle. Today's episode is brought to you by me. If you like what you heard, I offer one-on-one sessions and would love to help you have a more peaceful home. Email me at michellegams@gmail.com. Let's get back to the show.
Mm-hmm. That she needs a transition from whatever to whatever. That whether it's from school to home or from the whoever's with them until y'all are with them or whatever, there's a transition period and there needs to be space for that. Just like when you come home, that you're not ready to sort of let's sit down and chat.
Mm-hmm.
And parents do this all the time with their kids. They start with the interrogation. I mean, really. Mm-hmm. The barrage of questions, and kids feel like a light is on over them and they're interrogated. And when you come home from work, do you want the light put on you?
No. I'm like, I'm Absolutely. Busy. I'm making dinner. Stop talking to me.
Right. Exactly. Well, that's how they feel.
Right.
So it's just understanding children are not, they're not lesser. They're just littler versions of us.
Mm-hmm.
Children are not lesser. They're just littler.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And so to give her space to transition, and if you're getting ready, like give her something to eat. Like my daughter, for instance, she would eat, they had opposite eating habits. Like my son was like a snake. We called him the snake because he would eat a large quantity, not very often, digest that, warm food. She was like small, she's like a bird, small amounts frequently. Okay, and he would never snack. So it's completely different. So when she would come home, before she was old enough to do this herself, I would say, okay, Grace, have the spoon of peanut butter before we start talking. Like, you cannot even sit, don't even start talking. Have the spoon of peanut butter.
Mm-hmm.
And then she, and I helped her understand that's her body and that she's going to cope better if she has something substantial within her, a protein typically for her. And then the older she got, she knew herself that was the first thing she needed to do when she got home is get something substantial within her so the meltdowns are headed off at the pass. Like, we've prevented them.
Mm-hmm.
And I drove around when they were in the daycare, and I literally had juice boxes in my trunk at all times. And I would just give it to them as soon as they got in the car because it was a 30-minute drive. And that was not going to be one of our problems, is your blood sugar. That is not going to be one of our problems driving home. Mm-hmm. If we're melting down, it's not going to be about food.
Mm-hmm.
Because that could be part of it. Food, and if they're hungry, if they're tired, then we tend to keep talking to children and keep rationalizing and trying to reason. How reasonable and rational are you when you are tired or hungry?
Yeah, we're not.
No. But we do this to children all the time.
Mm-hmm.
What we need to do is stop talking. Just stop talking and get them food. Stop talking and get them to bed. Don't talk anymore. Don't talk. Just meet the need. Mm-hmm. Meet the need.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
Can I, is there, where I struggle with that is where's that, there's this fine line of meeting that need and not letting it become a bad habit, right?
Right.
So
oh,
the not eating
like,
dinner.
Sure. Or like we're giving in to things.
Right,
like
right.
Doug's whole thing is like, he doesn't want to give in.
Right.
Like if she beats us down enough and we give in, then, right. then we've lost.
Okay, so what is it you'd be willing to give her when she comes home or pre-dinner that will not ruin the whole dinner? What one or two items can she have that satiates or satisfies everybody in this situation? It was always a banana or milk or whatever y'all decide,
right.
You know, like something that mm-hmm. is one of the healthier foods, a version that something like I would say there's foods that I'm willing to give you that help you grow. And there are foods that don't help you grow. And so, you know, sugary food, that's not going to help you grow. And so I'm willing to give you foods to help you grow.
Mm-hmm.
And then we even learn to talk about short and long foods, that there are some that give you energy over long periods and some that give you short energy. And to speak like that, because children are reasonable people. If you explain things to them, if you finish your sentences, they understand what you're saying. Like, oh, well, that makes sense. And they had no idea that, you know, the donut is going to be a short food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's going to be a short one. Versus, say, maybe the granola bar or oatmeal is going to be a longer one, and you explain why.
Mm-hmm.
Or the candy is going to be a short one. Or the juice is going to be a short one. But milk or almond, whatever you do, is going to be a longer one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That they begin, you can kind of coach them through that, and they are all reasonable people if you explain things to them, too. Instead of just do it because I said so, that's worthless.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm smiling
worthless.
Because I feel like, all right, we've got what we need. Let's go.
Oh my gosh. We need like, so much more.
This is great.
And it's not even just the food. It's just
Doug,
like she.
See what I mean? Doug's a stud.
No, I'm curious. Like it's just these. Of course that's what you do.
Right.
Duh. Right.
Yeah.
It's the light bulb moment.
Yeah, light bulb, the aha. But yeah. We don't think that they're like us, or you don't think that you just think they're supposed to do what you say. And the reality is nobody likes to be told what to do. Nobody likes to be told, including them. And so we're gonna keep talking. There's more here to say. I already have some things I want to be sure to cover with y'all that'll help. But to your point, Doug, that might be enough for y'all to implement right there. And that's a lot, just what we've talked about. Mm-hmm. And that's important for you, for the two of you, to pace yourself and implement what's enough for you. And then you can work down the list to other things that aren't working, but we don't have the energy for that right now. Because the reality is you have limited resources. So focus on the things that are causing you the most stress or strife and get relief from that before you move down.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the changing how we talk to her, that is such an easy fix. And we volunteered for an organization several years ago called Brooks Place, and we learned some skills about how to talk to children and how to get them to respond to you. And it was a lot of like, I wondering, and then also reflecting. So saying what they say to you. We use that with our kids all the time, and it works. So we know that just changing how we speak to her, and you know, Simon for that matter, will change the outcome.
How beautiful that you've learned that, and I hope you use it with each other.
We do. We'll just be like, I wonder how your day was today. Like, yeah, we do that with each other, and we think I think I'm hilarious when I do it.
Yeah. And reflecting too, that's such a beautiful skill as well, if you reflect with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know it unless you know it, right?
Right, right.
Didn't know that was an effective way of communication.
It is.
Yeah.
Mirroring is another way of reflecting, same synonym.
It's the same, I mean, very conceptual, but you don't, I mean, you have to read a book about this, right? You don't inherently know this, at least I don't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We only know what was done with us, Doug.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
helpful.
Yeah.
So what I'm just trying to think of, like, some situations with her where, okay, maybe it's not about the food when she comes home, but it's about something she wants to do.
Okay, hold on.
Okay,
we're gonna get there. Okay, so the no thing. I need to touch on this, the no piece. We talked about the don't and how you can shift it into saying what you do want. Okay. So Jillian asks for whatever. I want some juice. I want a granola bar. Okay. And your answer is no, we're having, you can have that after dinner. Okay. And most of our responses that we put the no on the front of, you can extract the no and just finish your sentence, mm-hmm. which you did, which was, you can have that after dinner. Mm-hmm. Okay. So then she doesn't have to, it's not leading with this discouraging big fat word, no. Mm-hmm. And I, as the receiver, as your daughter, am not feeling this kind of resistance and sort of this anger of, well, I'm going to get you. Like, I'm totally going to get you because I don't want to be told no. I'm going to figure it out. You know? So I'm just saying, if you can raise your awareness about most of the time, you don't need the word no. Mm-hmm. You can extract the whole thing out of your home. Just say when it can happen, where it can happen, if it can, whatever. So another example. Can I watch TV? Give me an answer.
No.
Right. Yeah, no. Yeah.
You can watch TV after dinner while Simon is taking a bath.
Perfect. Yeah.
It just hit me, though, that a lot of times we try not to say no. In fact, we oftentimes will not say no, but it's shown in our body language and our facial expressions. Uh-huh. So it's, I know podcasts can't see this, but it's like, well, how about after dinner?
Uh-huh.
You know, or anything like that. And so I've just now realized that I do that a lot.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that you do that.
Because it, almost immediately her reaction is as if I said no.
Mm-hmm.
She's so I might discouraged. As well say no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's discouraged. Yeah.
She always thinks that she's like, isn't that a good idea? Like, that'd be a good idea. So maybe we could start saying like, oh, that'd be a great idea.
Yes.
Why don't we do that after dinner?
Yes. And, oh, there it is. That's good. Very encouraging.
Yeah. And she loves to like, she'll be like, isn't that a great idea? It's such a good idea. She likes good ideas. So maybe we say, that's a great idea.
Yes.
So, and, I don't know if it's when she feels like we're saying no, this happens often, but what does happen often is she won't let us finish the sentence.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's when she thinks we're saying no or we are saying no, she just says, no, 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 stop. I need to tell you
something.
Stop talking.
Oh, how cute.
No, 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 no. I need to tell you something.
There's more information I need to share, mom and dad.
Yeah. And then she asks her question. She's not even not telling us something.
Oh,
yeah,
sweet little thing.
Yeah, I think I've now since deleted them because I didn't have enough room on my phone, but I was taking videos of her meltdowns because I was like, I have to show these to somebody to tell me what to do about her.
So she really is a normal 4-year-old, but we had a meltdown in the Orlando airport. It was a connecting flight, and this is the worst meltdown I think we've had, especially being in public too, but there's nothing to be said, done, to fix the problem.
So we had gotten off the plane, and we have the stroller. So it's just an example of a meltdown in public where we cannot reason with her.
Okay.
There's a stroller.
Yeah.
And then there's also a car seat that's attached to like a little wheelie thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's Simon's car seat. It's Simon's stroller, right? Simon had been sitting in the seat when he got off of the airplane because he'd been sitting in it on the airplane. So we get off the plane, Jillian and I go to the bathroom, mm-hmm. and we come back out, mm-hmm. and Simon is now, they probably got him out for a little bit and then strapped him back in to the seat. So we come out and she sees that he is strapped into that seat, and she is hysterical because she wants to be in that seat that he is in. I mean, it was probably a 20 to 25 minute meltdown in the middle of the airport. And at this point, we're like,
wow.
Hell no, we are not taking him out of that seat and putting him in the stroller just to appease you.
Right.
To sit in.
Good
to
for you.
Sit in that.
Good for
then,
you.
But.
Really? I mean,
but so
I don't
these
know.
Are the type of things that we don't give in to, where you're just being so unreasonable.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you something. How much sleep had she had?
She gets good sleep.
I think it was What time of day was that? It could have been during nap time.
I have no idea. Was this on our way home from...
It was on our way home from your mom's.
Cruise? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember. We had been... Let's just say we had been off our schedule. We had been gone for 12 days. We were on a cruise. We were at my mom's house in Florida. I mean, we were not on any type of a regular schedule.
It very well could have been it. I think it was a midday flight, and that was the first of two legs. So it was an hour flight from West Palm to Orlando. Uh-huh. And we get off, and I'm sure she didn't sleep on the airplane. She probably even had some candy to appease her. Okay. Right.
But those are the things that we don't. But that's a great point. I hadn't even thought. We've been on a crazy schedule for the past 12 days.
Uh-huh, and she's melting down.
Wants to get home. Right, she's been great. She wants to get home.
She has been great. And she's unraveling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just like after school. She's held it together for a lot, and now she's unraveling.
It's like we're almost home, and she just got
triggered. Off. Yeah, she did. She got set off. And so I don't know what reaches her. I mean, it's hard to, when, like I said, if you're tired and hungry and she's melting down, I call it the perfect fit. You know, it's like the perfect fit. Here we go. This is ugly. But there are ways to manage it that are better than others. And it sounds like you guys did a good job. You did.
A lot of onlookers wondering if we were abusing
our child. Totally, yeah. And that just because the perfect fit is happening doesn't mean it's bad parenting, by the way.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
She could definitely was hungry. We were getting ready to eat lunch.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just loaded on
tired,
bears. Yeah.
Hungry. There it is. Sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Crash. All of it. So
perfect storm.
It is the perfect storm. And so, yeah, one of the things that you may already know, but your kids need choices as well. That's going to help with the power thing, so that there's choice, because then they have some power over it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, do you want to, I mean, and that's in that situation, it's beyond probably help at that point, but... do you want to push the stroller? Do you want to be in the stroller? Do you want to have this for lunch or this for lunch? Mm-hmm. Do you want to sit on this side of the table or this side of the table? I mean, I'm not saying throw all of these things at a child at once, because you wouldn't want to throw all of those. Just one or two. Like, give her power. Mm-hmm. As often as you can. Same with him. Give them power, because then there's less need to power struggle or misbehave, because I don't have to fight you to get power, because I know that at sometimes you'll give it to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think we're pretty good at giving her choices, like it's like with clothes.
Okay, good.
You know, I used to lay out.
Good.
You get to see some of her outfits she picks out herself.
Isn't that beautiful?
Now at this point, I don't care. Pick out whatever you want to wear.
They are get-ups. Take pictures and make a little album, because it will end around first grade. And the get-ups are so colorful and hilarious. Take pictures, because she is all that. She is coming out feeling all that, and it will end. They start to conform. It's sad.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
It's sad.
Yeah, but I think we're good on choices, but it's good to give her more choices. I don't know if in that situation the choices would have.
I don't do it all the time.
Helped her.
So it's
hot messness, but
iteration of that.
Yeah,
that helps.
Yeah, that's an example of places where we don't give in.
Okay.
Because we are like hard and fast. We don't, like, when we make a decision, we are not giving into this, because then she won.
Right.
Which is then when we spiral into, like, temper tantrum, meltdown, pounding the door, screaming at the top of her lungs.
Okay.
That then we don't know how to fix.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's say that I appreciate consistency among parents, and that you have credibility, like that you, I'm getting the vibe that you both kind of mean what you say. That your daughter might view you as credible, which is a challenge in some other homes, that they're not credible. They say things that don't happen. And so the fact that your daughter sees you as credible is a really good thing. And it's okay to change your mind. Okay. And so I would absolutely communicate, you know, we've really thought about this, Jillian, and we've changed our mind.
Mm.
I'm not saying give in to her or please her, because that's not the case. But if should you decide we've gone down the wrong path here, you know, like we've changed our mind, we've really thought through this, and you know what, Jillian, we've changed our minds, or after you calm down, we want to talk to you about something. Like, you know, it doesn't have to, not in the middle of the meltdown, but like after that, we really thought about this and we'd like to talk to you that we've changed our mind. And then it might look like you're pleasing her at that point, but it's actually been thought through. It's not a reaction or an impulse thing or an I'm going to accommodate you to get you to shut up. That's different. This is thoughtful. Mm-hmm. We've kind of thought through this and we've and you could even explain why. You know what? We realized, honey, that you probably are kind of hungry, and we're gonna go. We're gonna walk over here and go get you some food, even though we said we're not. We changed our mind. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, and so it's okay for you all to, with all your beautiful credibility, to also say I've changed my mind. Because what is the message you're giving your daughter there? What's the modeling of that?
Yeah, you're not always right.
Yeah, you're not always right, and it's okay to change your mind.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Upon reflection.
Right. And Doug always gets nervous that if we change our minds, that then she knows, ooh, I got an in.
Right.
If I kick and scream and kick and scream, the next time they're gonna give in. They're gonna do what I want
That's
them
true.
To do.
Because if it's with the kicking and screaming, I'm not going to change my mind. No, I'm not. So, but it's a good message for her to hear at maybe at other times so that she knows it's possible, so that you can say to her in the kicking and screaming moments, you know what, Jillian, you might want to get it together. And if you want to get it together and we talk about this, I'll consider what you're saying, or we, you know, I have changed my mind before. I may or may not, but we can talk about it, and that she can see that you aren't a brick wall. Mm-hmm. Always.
Mm-hmm. But to change your mind, your point is, it's got to be not during a meltdown.
No way.
Because I'm thinking, what could we do different back in Orlando?
Well, yeah. Or but in Orlando, I wouldn't talk to her anymore. I'm just going to, if you two realize at that point, this kid is having a sugar crash, she's freaking exhausted, then I'm going to pick her up and I'm going to take her and get her some milk or whatever the kid's going to eat. I'm not going to talk. We're just going to go, and we're going to, if I realize that, like this, we're going to try to help this situation. And then I don't know if you know, like something soothing, sing, hum to her, whatever that's soothing to calm her without talking. Or we're going to go walk, or we're going to go look outside we're going to go look at the airplanes out here, or whatever. But we're not going to talk about what's going on. We're just going to distract and try to soothe and meet the needs. Because you can't give her a nap in the airport. We're not going to get there, but you could hold her or sing to her or, you know, rock her, sit and hold her, whatever, get her blanket, anything, you know, to help soothe this kid who is out of her mind because she's out of her body at this point. She's held it together. She's done the best she can, and she needs help.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So that's different if the kid didn't, but that's my first question is if it's a big bad meltdown like that, my guess is there's some fatigue and some food that's a problem, that's part of the problem, not the only problem, but definitely a contributing factor.
And I think a lot of it does surround food in general, whether it's they're just hungry, but we've talked about trying to be two steps ahead of them, managing an hour from now.
Mm-hmm. And that you do.
We're not great at it. I mean, we do okay, probably normal, but just the fact of when we get behind that, then that's when we get into trouble.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why you always want to carry snacks and things that they'll eat in the car, wherever, because you need to always have them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Always.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. I mean, we used to have those, you know, at Costco, like those little chocolate, or they have organic chocolate milks that are in boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Boxes. So it's like you don't refrigerate it. Have it in your car. Have it, I mean, whatever your kid, whatever floats your boat for your kid that's of substance.
Right.
That you can, whatever that is.
Yeah, nothing makes me happier than when somebody asks me for something, like we're out and about, we're, you know, we're at a museum, we're at the mall, wherever we're at, and like, I'm hungry. And it's like, oh, I'm so glad I brought raisins or an applesauce, right, or here's your water, because I can just hand it back to them. And it's, right, like they ask for it, they receive it.
Right. Well, they need that because they're little and their stomachs are little and they need it. I mean, you know, when they were babies, they're eating every hour, 2 hours. You're lucky if it's 3 hours. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not. Yeah, they need it.
Yeah.
And you think about how much their bodies are changing and growing. They need it. They're little furnaces.
While we're on the food topic, but so now with the 2 and a 4-year-old, if you give one, the 2-year-old has to have it, or vice versa.
Yeah.
So you just, I mean, we have to have 2 of the exact same snacks, right?
Well,
yeah.
Or they share or whatever. You said that we only have one. We only have one. So we have to, if you want this, Jillian, we have to give some to your brother. You want to break it up or do you want me to?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a choice in there.
Yeah.
Because you know that he's going to want some of this.
Right.
Okay.
Or she can help divide it or whatever, you know, or she, you know, there's power in that choice for her. Okay, so the food thing, taking out the nose, because most of the time you don't need them, and then you're going to get less discouragement and resistance on her end without that, because nobody wants to hear no, and nobody wants to be told what to do all the time.
And we're gonna help her. We're gonna say, here's what you can do.
Absolutely.
Instead of what you can't do.
Yes. And you know, you had said like a more encouraging is to lead with the yes. You can have a juice after or granola bar after dinner. Or sure. That's a good idea. Like she said, that's a really good idea. And you love that. And this is when you can. Because most things with kids, they it's a matter of where or how it happens. Like there's an outlet for all of it. I mean, truly all of it. You want to bite? Here's something you can bite. You want to say bad, ugly words? Say them to the toilet. Feel free. Like, go on in there. Say what you want to say. I mean, there is not really very little to forbid. Very little.
Yeah. I told Doug, I feel like we don't give her enough wins. Like, at one point I said, I think I saw, like, Jennifer Garner has, like, a yes day. She says everything her kids want to do, she says yes to. So I was like, we should say yes to our kids at least to Jillian. Like, whatever she wants to do, we'll just say yes. And he's, like, takes it to the extreme. He's like, oh, so she wants to go run in the street after the ball, you're going to let her do that? I was like, well, no, but within reason. I mean, you don't have to take it to the extreme. But I was just saying, like, we don't give her enough wins. We don't let her feel like she is in control enough, and that's all she wants is to be in control. So if we can figure out how to talk to her more so that she feels like she's in control, our life will be 1,000 times better. And I will say, she's literally been amazing for the past week. I was like, of course she's been amazing, because we've been talking about coming here and talking to you. Course she's been amazing. She has been.
Maybe
she's
that has to do with y'all.
Phenomenal.
As well, this week. In preparation for coming.
Well, whenever she doesn't feel well, she is literally the best kid in the entire world, and she was sick over the weekend, so that's also...
She's impaired.
And last weekend we swam Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. She had a great weekend! We're both like, she's doing amazing right now. And we took her to get a toy, because she had done such an amazing job being so good.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Oh, we
the reward this. Thing.
Yeah.
You brought it up, Stud Doug. You brought it up. So, rewards are a bad idea.
Bad idea.
They're a bad idea.
We never do them.
We hear often they're good ideas.
Yeah, you do? You hear good ideas? They're good ideas?
Yeah.
Go on.
A pediatrician, I mean, suggest doing that.
Yeah. Doing what?
Trying a reward chart or reward jar.
Yeah. Okay. I don't. And and the reason is because it creates a what's in it for me mentality. It's an external validation. And I'm not saying that kids don't need some external validation, but it's because we all do. But more importantly, they need internal validation, like the sense of doing it because and feeling good about doing it because I live here or because I it makes our whole community space better because I contributed or I did whatever it is. So that's why I tell parents, you don't want to pay your children to do any jobs at home. You need to give them an allowance around age 5 because they need to learn money management. But that you don't pay your kids to do jobs because it creates a what's in it for me mentality. And then it works beautifully the first week. And then the second week you say, I need you to empty the dishwasher. And they say, how much do I get? Mm-hmm. And then you want to kill them.
Oh. Okay.
You see, so they need to learn the skill, life skill of money management, right. And you're in finance, so they need to learn what it feels like to save it, spend it, buy a plastic Fantastic, have it break. They need to have all that and transact money, but not be paid for jobs. So you just give them an allowance because they already have a job, which is school.
So an allowance just for being our kid.
Just for being your kid.
All right.
Because they need to have they need to learn what that money management. Mm-hmm. It's a life skill.
Yep.
Important life skills.
So they can do chores, but they're not being paid for chores.
No, they're not
chores,
tied.
And they get an allowance, but they're not tied.
Nope, they're not Got tied. It. They just have to do jobs because they live here, and we all live here, and it helps all of us to do that.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, and we've poorly attempted some sort of a chart like a year or two ago. I mean, this is not something that we have focused on. And last week, she had said, like, Mommy, can I go to that store? And I want to get the toy that we bought when we went to so-and-so's birthday party. And I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
You were so great all weekend.
But here's the thing. You can take her to do that. Yes. Yeah. Take her and say yes. It's not because of anything.
Right. Just say yes.
Yes. Because she's good no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
She's good.
Yeah.
Her behavior can be, like, shitty or poor, you know, better or worse, but she's a good kid, period.
Mm-hmm.
And so the problem is, from her perspective, the message she's getting is, I get rewarded when I behave well.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
she doesn't, I don't want her to have that message.
Right. Okay, so I just should have said yes.
Let's
I'd love
go
to
do
take
that.
You to get that.
Yeah,
toy.
I'd love to
that's
spend time
idea.
With you, and that's a reasonable thing we can do. You know, it's not. I mean, again, it needs to be something that's, you know, it's not because it's, you know, super expensive or like it's like that. That's like those are all considerations, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but to say sure, I'd love to do that for you, and I'm happy to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, and I think you're, you know, a great kid or whatever, but it's not tied to that.
Got it.
So that's the problem. Praise is what we do with kids, and we externally validate them over and over and over. You're such a great kid because you did this. You're such a great kid because you scored. You're such a great kid because you got an A. I think you're the best kid ever. Okay, well, it's all conditional love.
Mm-hmm.
Based on, from their perspective, what I do. So that means you love me when I do what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to learn that our love is unconditional. No matter what you do or don't do, I love you. No matter what. So you're the best kid I could ever have, Jillian. Period. Not tied to any behavior. She's just a great kid.
Mm-hmm. So she's a really good kid.
Yeah.
She's the best.
Yeah.
She is the best.
Yes, she is.
So
except when she makes our blood boil.
Right, right. That makes you normal.
We can't give ultimatums or threaten. I mean, is that's what kind of what I'm hearing you say?
Yeah.
Just for anything.
No.
Because then it's a conditional.
Yeah. Well, you can give consequences. I mean, you can say the facts that if you don't eat your food, you're not getting dessert.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reality of our home or whatever. Like, that's just, it's give information. But it's not a threat or a bribe because they go both ways. Like, threaten, it's like, and I understand why everybody does it, but I don't endorse rewards unless it's potty training. That's it. Knock it out.
We
put
never
it across,
did that even.
Put it across the back.
That's a lie. We absolutely did rewards.
For a short period, we did.
Yeah, across this, what you want to do for a short period, because you're trying to make something that's unconscious conscious. So knock it out. Put everything across the back of the toilet that child will want to motivate them to go there, to go to the bathroom until it becomes conscious, and then you don't need to do it anymore. It's just natural. It's conditioning. Yeah. Yeah. So that's the only time, because they're nonverbal. I mean, they're not nonverbal. Mm. They have limited verbals, you know, at 3 usually. I mean, they're so. Anyway, do it then. But otherwise, no. No rewards.
It's really good. Okay.
I hope you're taking good notes, because I realized I was like, I didn't bring anything to write down. I hope he's down the things that I would want to write down.
You're married to a stud.
Yeah. And right. You know what? Remember, we're recording this, so I can.
Yes. And you can listen to your own podcast.
I'm
yeah.
writing down all the things that you need to do. No, this is very good.
I have a head cold. Sorry about that. Okay, so.
How did I know it was going to be about us?
Yes. Okay. So you talked about testing boundaries too, that she tests mm-hmm. your boundaries. Mm-hmm. Whenever we set a limit, expect for it to be tested, if not be pleasantly surprised. Mm. It's her job to test you to see if you mean it. And if you're credible, which it sounds like you two are for
not
the most
all the
part,
time.
But for the most part, you're going to get tested less often about those boundaries because she believes your words. But if you aren't credible, that's those children are going to keep testing their parents more often because sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't because whatever you say isn't always true.
Mm-hmm. So we had to... We do not allow her to play on an iPad at home
uh-huh.
because we would tell her, you know, Jillian, you know, we're going to set the Alexa. You know, she would oftentimes set Alexa for whatever, you know, however many minutes we decided, you know, the timer.
Alexa does these, timing
I
now?
Know, you just say, Alexa, set the timer for 15 minutes.
No way.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Jillian sets a timer through Alexa.
Yeah. But it's funny when she says, Alexa, set the timer for 5 seconds. I'm like, I don't think you really mean five seconds.
No concept
like,
of
okay.
time yet.
No, she doesn't.
Mm-mm.
But what happens when Alexa goes
beeps.
Off?
It's an alarm.
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So we'll set the timer. She knows, like, she's helping us set the timer. And then Alexa good. Says, like, that she set the timer for 15 minutes. So it's, you know, you can,
that's good.
You can hear it all. And she would be on the iPad, like, deep in, like, oh, my gosh, like, total zoning out. And the timer's going off. And we're telling her, Jillian, do you hear Alexa's going off? And it's like, no, 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 one more minute, one more minute, one more minute. And we take the iPad away, meltdown city.
Right.
And so we just decided, no more iPad. We just can't do it because she right. gets completely sucked into it.
Yes, it's an addiction.
Which is like how what's happened to adults.
Yep, mm-hmm. It's an addiction. And so you're asking her, you're putting yourself between her and an addiction, which is a really difficult place to be. And every parent has to do it with all of this technology out there now. And it is hell.
Mm-hmm.
It's hell. And when they come out of this consumption, they're all irritable.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really wise of you. If you can limit it or eliminate it.
She's just not allowed
she
at can't. All.
The
she
only
knows
time
it,
she's allowed know. Is on, well, the only time she's oh. allowed is on an airplane. So let's talk about back to Orlando. She'd been on the iPad on the plane. She'd
there.
Been, she'd been chewing, she'd been eating gummy bears so that her ears didn't pop because we'd had there. A miserable flight where she was in so much pain.
Sorry.
And we get off the plane. She's like,
I mean, good.
She won't, you know, but on the iPad, I mean,
we figured that out.
Yeah, but on the iPad, on the airplane, she didn't put up much of a resistance or fight at the time.
Because she knew. By that point, we had just stripped. We don't. The only time we get the iPad is when
she
we're on
says
plane.
That.
And she knows. She yeah. knows that. But she asked last week, can I use the iPad? I said, sweetie, we only use the iPad on the airplane. Oh, okay. I was like, that was it.
Mm-hmm. So, good I mean, you. That is such a big topic. One that, I mean, kind of the epitome of her testing us is we only eat in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not so strict that if she's having a quick snack, she can, I don't know, we have a decent sized kitchen, she can, I don't know, walk around.
Yeah.
But then the family room, there's tile to carpet. And she'll, when she knows the limit, she'll just put her toe on the carpet.
Right.
So.
Of course.
I'm not trying to, I think you are much more lenient with that.
Mm-hmm. And you're a total hard ass.
I'm a hard ass. I will, all right, you go into your room. Now, then that, I mean, there's a whole other component on what's the right discipline.
Mm-hmm.
But is having that red line appropriate? Or
I think it's very appropriate to say where it's okay to eat and not eat. Her sticking her foot over the line is her testing you, and I would let it go. There are wars and there are battles, and you want to win the war.
Okay.
And yep. if she's taking her food in and doing the problem, the violation that is your problem, I would absolutely have some consequences there. But if she's sticking your foot over, I'm going to ignore that because okay. she's just seen what is he going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do nothing, okay, well, then she may proceed and try to go further. Well, then she's going to get it if she does that. But I'm not going to fight that battle.
All right.
Now, we always talk about picking our battles, and I pick way less battles.
Yeah.
Than
well, you can't fight them all.
Yeah.
You can't.
And you'd be exhausted.
Yeah, you would.
Miserable.
Yeah.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm.
I understand the red line there, but I understand that she's doing it just to test.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah.
And you want to show that you mean business.
Right.
I want to be credible.
And that I'm credible.
Well, sure.
You can be credible
sure.
without.
Yeah, but you can, you know, Doug, if you looked at her, because she's looking at you while she's doing it.
Oh, yeah.
She's totally looking at you. And you just look at her and you like you get the eye contact and you do that smile that you're doing right now, the cute little smile. And if you just winked at her, like she knows you know. You know what I mean? We all know what you're doing right now. Like, and there's just an acknowledgement there.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's going to go on. And what she's learning is, I tried to get him to engage with me and he didn't engage. I'm done.
This stuff is so easy.
Can we just bring Michelle home with us?
It's just easy. Make it sound so easy.
I feel like it's there that, I'm not comparing you to her, but that old show, like the
Super
the,
Nanny?
Yes!
Yes.
Where she would come in and just like...
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was all perfect. And yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly who.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember people talking about Super Nanny. Like that, yeah, could I just come live with them?
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, we probably just need the microphone in your ear and I could help you with the words of what you need to say or do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you guys are doing great, by the way. You are. And you're doing it well together, which is a beautiful gift.
We know we need to be a unit.
You are.
In unity. And I mean, that's challenging at times.
And we have very common parent, like we talked a lot before. I mean, here's the thing. We got married, you know, when we were in our 30s, a lot of our friends were already married, had kids. Like, so we saw kind of all of these different parenting styles. So we had agreed early on about what we wanted to be and how, you know, do we want to be completely lax or do we want to be incredibly strict? Or we're like, you know, we feel like we're in the middle.
Uh-huh.
There's some things we need to be strict on. There's other things we need to be lax on. So for the most part, we have the same parenting style, which we know that there are plenty of couples out there who
uh-huh.
don't. Like, they just don't see eye to eye with how they're
yes.
parenting. So
yes.
thankfully, we do
yeah.
see eye to eye.
I mean, the biggest the difference is we used this word earlier, but I'm a hard ass and you're more realistic. I'm just, you know, I'm the mean dad.
You're not mean.
Well, no, I know.
He's fun. He's but, like, I'm yeah. like the boring mom over here. He's.
Yeah, I don't see you as the hard ass, really. I mean, I know that you probably are harder than her, but I don't see you as the hard ass. I doubt that you are.
Well,
I mean, I'm not.
Here's.
Go ahead. Mom.
No, I would just say that. He is like he's so nice, right? Like that's why I thought.
Right. Let's go back to that
because he's so nice.
You dumped him because he was too nice.
Because he was too nice, but he puts on a facade. No, I'm kidding.
No, I mean, yeah. No, I mean, I'm normal.
Yeah, but he gets his fuse is much shorter than mine.
Yes.
There,
I
there.
Have much less patience.
That's there, mm-hmm. there. That's common.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. Well, we'll close with this piece. Regarding the fuses that you all have, that we all have, you are 100% responsible for what you say and what you do, no matter what is done to you, no matter how tired you are, no matter what this child has said or done, no matter what's going on around you, no matter if somebody's yelled at you, you are 100% responsible for whether you yell back. You're 100% responsible no matter what. So do whatever you need to do to gather yourself. Remove yourself. Take a walk. Call somebody. Breathe. Go lock yourself in the bathroom. Whatever you need to do to re-center yourself so that you can be clean with what's coming out of you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are 100% accountable. Most people don't want to hear that and they don't want to believe that. And that is the truth. Nobody is in control of you except you. So you hit me, if I hit you back, I'm responsible for hitting you back. You yell at me, I yell at you back, I'm responsible for that. No matter what. And that's beautiful modeling for your children. They're 100% responsible as well. And for you to take your own timeouts, like your own calming, is a beautiful thing to model. You know what? I'm going to need to get calmer before I talk to you or I'm with you right now. I'm going to go over here and breathe or walk or... go outside for a few minutes. I'll be right back. beautiful modeling to help your own fuses and your own patience.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, we've talked about that. Take our own timeouts. How it's necessary sometimes. It's like, you should leave.
Oh, it is.
It's like, you're hot.
Tap out.
I cannot handle you right now.
Usually that's, we're not physical. Yes, they've been spanked. We never raise our voice. Well, we rarely raise our voices, but this weekend we did. And it's the timeouts after we hit that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why did we do that?
Maybe it was last weekend. We definitely raised her. I remember this.
I remember. And I've definitely screamed at her like, oh, that was a demon that just came out of me. Like,
yeah.
I should not have done that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On a couple of occasions.
Well, yeah. You get humbled pretty quick. It was like almost a written statement.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Like, for what I've realized whenever I have raised my voice or, you know, we have whatever the case is, it doesn't affect her. It doesn't change her actions.
No.
So I'm like, why am I doing this?
Yes.
I'm not getting anything out of it. Because would think if I scream at you, you're going to stop acting the way that you're acting, but you don't.
No.
If you get spanked, you think you're going to stop acting the way that you've been acting, and you don't. So it's like, you know what?
No.
It doesn't resonate. So why am I doing it? It makes me feel better in that moment, but it's not helping the situation.
Yeah. It's your emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you. For realizing that.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't.
It's huge.
Just laugh in my face. So I'm like, okay, well, this isn't working.
So I've written this book, okay, and it's a very simple concept. I'm working on getting it published. I've been sitting on it for about 3 years. Here it is, okay? You've just talked through it yourselves. That in every situation with your kids, you have A through D options. A is the best case scenario should you have the patience, the time, the wherewithal, the knowledge, do A. B is the good enough option. Good enough, given, tired, hungry, another kid, whatever's going on. B is do that, the good enough option. C is do no harm. C is walk away, shut up, take a walk, breathe, whatever you need to do, regroup yourself. D is harm. D is yell at them, hit them, shame them, humiliate them. All you need to do to be a fabulous parent is steer clear of D. A through C all work. They're all great. Stay with those. Do a bang up job. Steer clear of D and you're good. Doesn't have to be perfect. Good enough works, and doing no harm is fabulous. And that's reality. The real world of parenting. And you need to know what the A's are, which is what you're learning here.
Mm-hmm.
What some of those are. Should you ever have the space or memory to do it. And you've got them. And give yourself a break when it's C or B. And if you're not doing D, we're good. And as you said, it's ineffective anyway. It's not changing the behavior.
Mm-hmm.
We're not getting any change here. So why are we doing this? Nobody feels good about D. They don't, and you don't.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. So, congrats. You've already figured that out.
We have to do it. Yeah.
You guys are fabulous.
Look
seriously.
At that. Done.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Done.
Perfect children.
Woohoo!
Perfect parents.
Thank you. You are. Thank you.
After 1 hour, we're perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're all fixed. Uh-huh. All good. Thank you.
Yay!
Thank you.
Our first podcast.
Yes. Good, great.
This reminds me of when Jillian was, I think, 4 months as a baby.
Mm-hmm. Exactly where you're going.
And we knew sleep was extremely important for her and us.
Yeah.
It was like 4 or 5 weeks.
Okay. Well, it was 4 or 5 weeks, as you just. But, I mean, I'm having less patience. I'm beginning to lose my mind.
Yeah.
What is, relatively speaking, she's a great 4-week-old, 5-week-old baby. But still, it's nevertheless, it's hard. And so a book was recommended to me, and we took away a few basic concepts of a parent of recognizing her sleep and creating good sleep habits. I think it took 2 days to change our life.
Yeah, I read the book. I highlighted it. Then I said, read my, he's not a reader. I said, read what I have. This is the Cliff Notes version is what I've highlighted.
No, but, yeah.
And it was called Healthy Sleep Habits, Happy Child or Happy Baby. And it was just about recognizing when they were tired. And so we, for Jillian, we were a slave to the sleep schedule. And it changed our world. I mean, when she went to...
But it became habitual.
Yeah. It was amazing.
We loved parenting at that point.
When we took her to... I mean, I went back to work at 11 weeks. And we took her to an in-home daycare. She was completely sleep trained. I was like, here's when she naps. Here's when she's awake. There you go.
Well, I mean, I bring that up because, I don't know, I feel like this is, I'm not saying this because the podcast, but this could be kind of that aha moment.
Yeah, we're good students.
For this age of parenting.
For this age, yeah. Yeah, you're on reset button.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I needed the Cliff Notes of what to do, and I've got... A 4x6 front and back page of notes. That's all I need.
Yeah. See?
Yeah, and then we have our podcast to refer back to. Yeah.
Right.
Whenever we want to remember what Michelle told us. And hear about our ridiculous
And work. Anytime he wants to remember what a stud
what
he is.
What a stud he is. Yeah, because I will not be reminding him.
Stud Doug. I think that's our new name for me.
Yes.
Doug the stud.
Yep.
You can call the title of this podcast Stud.
Yes. That's right.
Nobody will listen to it, but if it talks about redirecting a child's behavior or how to eliminate meltdowns, people might listen to it.
Could be our most listened to one.
I'll listen to it more if it's titled Stud Doug.
Yeah, no, but you're right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Yeah, and you don't know what people are coming in to talk about before they come in, right?
No.
And I looked, I was like, oh my gosh, you have so many topics on like teenagers. So I was like, oh, well, this is like talking about a 4-year-old. So this should be, you know, a change for hers.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody's out there parenting different ages. But,
right.
Yeah, you can even like read up on any, study up.
No, just bring it on.
She could have been prepared. She didn't know we were coming in to talk about.
No. I'm used to it. It's good. And I'm grateful that you guys came together, too.
Yeah, well, I thought it was important for us to come together. If we were going to, if we were going to be able to fix this, we needed to come together. And our sitter was late. And our son got stung by a bee outside at like 4:30 today. And he is a hot mess. And we're like, oh my gosh, it got to the point where Doug's like snuggling with them on the couch and our sitter's still not there. It was like 5:35 and it was like, I'll just go, like, he's like, you just want to go without, like, we don't know where she is. You just want to go without me. And
well, we both need to hear this.
And then the doorbell rang. But I almost came by myself just because, because of the situation at home.
Thank you.
And now we're going to go out to dinner.
Yeah, you have a day.
I never said it would be easy. I only said it would be worth it. Peace to you, Mom or Dad. It starts there. You've got this.